South Africa has a national register for sex offenders, and it contains the details of people convicted of sexual offences against children or mentally disabled people. And those listed on that register are prohibited from working with children or mentally disabled people, or from adopting children or acting as foster parents. The public, though, is prohibited from seeing this register. Advocate Dion Poole joins me on the line now, a legal expert and a former Johannesburg magistrate. Dion, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us this morning. You are opposed to the idea of this register being made public. Why?
Good morning, Africa. I'm sorry if I sound a bit nasal. I'm battling a bit of a cold. I'm not per se opposed to the register being made public. I'm opposed to the register being made public in its current form. The reason for that being is that in its current form, the register is basically a blanket register. Furthermore, Sheena Swemmer, who has similarly made a comment in respect of this matter, has indicated the various problems that lie to the current sexual offences register. And that is specifically around its administration, making sure that the information that it contains is actually up to date, and that it is correct, and all of those matters. Then the other issue is that there are two registers that deal with this issue. One is the sexual offences register that deals with specifically the sexual offences, and then there is a register that is maintained by the Department of Social Development, which is a register that not only contains sexual offences and convictions and actions related thereto, but similarly is also recording neglect and abuse of children. And these two departments consequently do not converse with each other and do not speak to each other. So as far as the current form of the sexual offences register is concerned, that register is not a register that ought to be part of the public domain.
So what I have said... Go ahead, Dion.
Sorry, what I have suggested is that there is no argument to be made that this register and the information contained in it needs to be made public. But considering that we live in a constitutional democracy, we have to make sure, purely from a legal standpoint, we have to make sure that we balance the individual rights versus the expectations of the community. Now, as you and your listeners will well know, each individual right is subject to limitation, depending on the interest of society that needs to be protected. The bigger the interest, the more extensive the limitation concerning the right. A sexual offender in respect of children, there we have the welfare of our children, and I think that the welfare of our children trumps virtually everything. The Constitutional Court, in various decisions, has made that very clear. The same limitation goes to women, specifically in respect of abuse that they are subject to. So from a purely legal standpoint, and in order to address all of these issues, I have suggested that the sexual offences register needs to be revamped. First of all, these two registers need to be integrated with one another, so that the information contained in the one is the information contained in the other. A further suggestion was that there must be a part A, which has to do with sexual offences related to children. That part A must be open to the public. You need to know that your neighbour or somebody two or three houses down the road from you is a person that has been convicted of a sexual offence regarding a child. Part B should relate to sexual offences related to adults. But in this instance, there must be a decent description of the kind of offence that is the subject of that specific individual. Because a sexual offence can be anything from inappropriate touching or behaviour to rape. So there must be a distinction in respect of, is this individual a sex pest in the workplace, or is this individual a rapist? That information needs to be specifically contained. And then the C part, in my view, is the part of the register that should remain closed as it is in its current form, And that should contain information related to matters that have gone on appeal, where the appeal process in respect of those convictions and sentences has not yet been completed. Of course, once that appeal process has been completed, then those offences would go under A or B, depending on whether it's a child or an adult. And in respect of the Schedule C part, or the part the C of the register, that should be only accessible to people who want to, either employers or schools in respect of children. And then, of course, if you agree there to, like a credit check, where you give permission for somebody to check your credit, you can similarly give permission for a prospective employer to access that part of the record. The main thing, however, is that this is where the concept or my view in respect of the recipe for disaster comes in, is that the information in this register needs to be up to date, it needs to be correct, and it needs to be relevant for the circumstances in respect of which it applies, or else that will become a recipe for disaster where you have individuals who are targeted on incorrect or wrong information, or information that's either old or not current, and that is where the limitation in respect of the individual rights versus your community rights would then come in. And that is the easiest way to protect that, as far as I am concerned.
And when you shared these ideas with the relevant authorities, have you received an agreeable ear? Is there an appreciation that we do need to improve the register as it currently exists so that it better serves the people of South Africa while still protecting the individual rights of those who may be detailed on that list?
Africa, I have made certain submissions in respect of what I have just told you, but of course there are various role players that are involved in respect of this. In order to draft an amendment is not the most difficult thing to do, but the main aspect here lies with the administration. It's to get the administration up and running so that we have the correct information being passed to the relevant office that is designated with maintaining this register, and ensuring that the information that is on that register is current. And that is particularly where the challenge lies, in my view. Because changing the law and updating the register ought not to be the biggest obstacle here. I think the administration deserves a little bit more of an oversight.
Is it a case of we would need to allocate more resources, appoint and deploy the correct people to the office that would be responsible for this list? Where do you believe the shortcoming is in the process?
I do not think that there is an issue about resources, because fundamentally what would happen if you just take a normal scenario. A person is convicted of a sexual offence. Let's say, for the argument's sake, he's not appealing the offence, or he's not appealing the conviction or the sentence. The court, by virtue of the prescripts of the Act, will then direct that his name and information be placed on the register. That document goes to the clerk of the court, of the relevant court, where such an individual has been convicted. And the clerk of the court then fills out the documentation as prescribed by the Act and sends it to the office that deals with these issues. But you consider that Sheena Swemmer has indicated that the sexual offences register currently has 50 names on it. I cannot actually believe that to be true, but if it is true, that is shocking. Because, yes, there's a very low conviction rate in respect of sexual offences. I think it's something like 7%. Because sexual offences, especially when it comes to children, are notoriously difficult to prove. And that is why I believe that there needs to be an integration between the register that is kept by the Department of Social Development as well as the sexual offences register, so that you are not only able to access information concerning individuals that have committed crimes, but also people who have been convicted in quotes, at disciplinary hearings at schools, and you are able to see information concerning individuals who have been convicted of neglect and abuse of children. So that that information, these departments need to integrate, specifically when it comes to children, they need to integrate. They need to talk to each other. And that, I think, is the biggest challenge here, is to get that kind of administration and commitment going. Because at this present point in time, you have an individual who fills out a form and sends it through to an office. Well, what happens to it between sending it to the office and it arriving at that office that needs to put it on the register, that of course now is something that you and I will now not know. The best person to speak to in that sense would be the designated incumbent of the Department of Justice who deals with these issues to understand the process that is involved. But if there are only 50 names on the sexual offences register, it's a shocking reality of to what extent the administration around this specific issue has fallen by the wayside, that it's simply just not being taken with the necessary amount of urgency that there is at this point in time. Because for some obscure reason, our children have become extremely susceptible to violence and to offences. And there is now more than enough information or evidence from various sources available that the biggest risk to children lies within their immediate environment, as in family and educators and even peers. That it's invariably, it is not somebody that is unknown to a child that is abusing a child or eventually causing that child the kind of harm that we have seen Tasneif van Wyk suffering in this instance.
Which makes the policing of this heinous crime that much more difficult, right? I mean, unless you employ enough police officers who are going to be stationed at every single home, every single classroom, there's no way really to get around this. Sheena Swimmer, by the way, who you referred to a moment ago, is the head of the gender program at the Center for Applied Legal Studies, who referenced that there were only 50 names on the register. Let me ask this question as a parting question, Dion. Let's imagine in an ideal world that we do then have this revamped national register for sexual offenders with the various parts allocated accurately for people who've been found guilty of the relevant crimes. And it's out in the public. And Afrika Malane happens to find himself on that list because of a heinous crime I've committed. I want to move into an area in the southern suburbs of Cape Town. A neighbor finds out I'm on that list. What protection measures would there be for someone like me who is on that register that will save me from any and all forms of abuse from my potential neighbors, including potentially stopping me from actually moving into that area that I want to move into?
Africa, this is now where that balancing act comes in respect of your individual rights to privacy, dignity, and those aspects which is found in the Bill of Rights versus the interests of the community in limiting your rights. And that is a very difficult balancing act to do. Because at the end of the day, that is what it's going to come down to, is the interest to protect our children versus your individual right to live in a certain suburb, and to what extent your name on the sexual offences register is going to affect that right. And that is something that is to be determined on the one hand by a proper consideration of how we are going to apply this public open document, and then of course the manner in which eventually it will go to the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court will take the necessary view and do the balancing act as they have always done, and we will get a decision and a direction from the Constitutional Court. But primarily there is that risk that, one, you will be victimized, and two, you will be ostracized to a large extent. But once again, we're looking at the right that you have to live in a certain community, in a certain environment, versus the right of the people around you to know to what extent their children specifically are exposed to you and in what manner. If you are a child rapist who has just been released from prison, then of course, you know, the limitation on your individual concerns would, to a large extent, have very little value off the top of my head, would have very little value compared to the concerns of your neighbors.
Rightly so, Dion. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. To feel better, thank you very much for talking to us while you have a cold. Advocate Dion Poole, a legal expert and a former Johannesburg magistrate. Your thoughts, 021-446-0567. The proposed changes to what is currently the National Register for Sex Offenders in terms of it better serving the people of South Africa and the communities, as well as balancing that with the individual rights of those people who are going to find themselves on those lists. Give me a call, 021-446-0567.